Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's digital audio service. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Luke, and I'm your host today. I want to start off with a quote from the much-loved cardigan-wearing Fred Rogers. He once said, "Listening is where love begins. Listening to ourselves, and then listening to our neighbors." As we listen in today, I wonder what kinds of listening we've been doing this week. What have we been hearing? Who have we been listening to? Maybe we've found ourselves with a lot of time to listen. Maybe it feels like we've had no time to listen at all. Well, today we're going to do some listening, and we hope that what you'll hear is both helpful and healthy. Our team is staying at home as much as possible and working remotely, which is, we're finding hard for some of us, given our social tendencies, and others of us, that's less difficult. For example, I'm an introverted only child, so social distancing is something I've become very comfortable with my entire life. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to hear a number of voices from our pastoral team. This digital audio service has been recorded in segments, as we're taking the instructions from our government seriously. So though it might seem like we're up close to one another, we're actually quite far apart. And some parts of this service are recorded at different times than others. With all that said, today you're going to hear from Kyle, Joanne, Rebecca, Deanna, Dave, and Ricky will be sharing our sermon out of our Splinter series entitled "The Cross and Forgiveness," which is the first of a two-part discussion on the topic. So welcome. We're so happy that you've tuned in. Let's begin by listening together as Kyle reads from Psalm 100 and Joanne follows with a prayer.
Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
Gracious God, this morning we acknowledge that you are indeed God, and we are so thankful for that. In these times of challenge and difficulties, of uncertainty, we can say with assurance that you are God and you are on the throne. And we worship you, and we thank you, and we give praise and glory to you this morning because that has not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are a God who is faithful. You are a God who is kind and gentle and merciful to your people. And so this morning we come before you with praise in our hearts, recognizing that you are our God and we are your people. And we thank you today, Lord God, that you are there, that you are present, and that you are faithful. We love you. Amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. The sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun set is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I know it's been said a few times already, but I wanted to say myself to you, thanks for tuning in to this weekly digital audio service. I'm also hoping that you're able to find us on Sunday Live every Sunday at 9 a.m. via our Facebook and Instagram platforms. I love the song we just heard, I Am Who You Say That I Am. I listen to that song a lot at home because of its good truth. For this song that we've heard, it sure puts a name on things and puts a name on things that are so true and reminds us that we are not forsaken, that God is with us, that God is not against us. God is for us. We're not alone. There is a place for us in His presence. How encouraging to not just sing along, but to experience the good truths of that song we just heard. I mean, this is so helpful these days when we're faced with the challenges that we find ourselves in. It seems that when we turn on our devices these days, we hear so many conflicting messages of uncertainty. We hear things like, we really don't know, or I'm not sure. This is all so hard to believe. I never saw this coming. One reporter contradicts the reporter of another. And even recently, others putting timelines out there and predicting when everything will get back to normal again. Two things that we've heard today in our digital audio service already. We've heard that God is for us. God is with us. He's not against us. Wow, that sounds good to say, and it sounds, I hope, good to hear. How beautiful it is to believe it. And we've also heard from Psalm 100 that God is faithful to each generation. And that certainly encourages me as a pastor as I think about the younger and the older within our community. And of course, as a family of the Soameses, as I think of the younger and the older in my family. I've been really encouraged this week as I hear about our networks enlivened by new meeting places and spaces. Our groups certainly have moved online, and we're finding each other, and I love it. I was encouraged even this past week by our Women's Network launching a Wednesday evening Facebook Live event, and the number of ladies who just leaned in so well. And of course, there's another one coming again this Wednesday. We're going to hear a song now about God's reckless love, and I trust that you would be reminded again of God's good love for us and His good love for all generations.
For I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Oh, the overwhelming.
when I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
We're going to take a few moments now to talk about some church and community news. And joining me at a very far distance,
yes,
is Rebecca. Hi,
hello, all the way over there. Everybody.
And Deanna.
Hey, hi,
everyone. All the way over there. We're going to take a few moments just to talk about things that are going on in and around the church and the community. Of course, the majority of which, if not all of it, is online. First thing I want to let you know about and remind you of, again, is that you can find everything on our website under the News tab. And specifically, there's an article there called LWC Online Community. Anything that you hear us talking about, you can find the links and the resources to on that page particularly. So please use that as a resource. That's, again, under our News tab. It's called LWC Online Community. And one of the things you can find on there is how our kids are engaging. So Deanna, kids have been online. Families have been online.
They sure have, and it's been awesome. So families, we have been thinking and praying for you this last week. We really miss you. As you're going about your week, climbers, remember your bottom line is I can follow Jesus. Navigators, this week you're going to finish your parable on the prodigal son. Remember, if you don't forgive, you miss out. Preteens, think about this question. What do you lose if you don't forgive? Families, to find these lessons, please go to our Parent Q app. To find it, go to the Living Waters Church website under Get Connect Children's Ministry Parent Connect. Well, this is our last week on forgiveness, but not our last week on our family challenges. Thank you for joining us on our Willoughby and Fort Facebook pages, posting your awesome photos and videos. We love seeing you guys. This week's family challenge is making a Disney lip sync video. Whoa, this is my favorite one. Choose your favorite Disney song, video yourself singing along, and post it on our Facebook page. We can't wait to see them.
So, Deanna, do you know what video you're going to do yet?
Oh, yeah. Is it Mine's there today. So check it out on the Facebook page.
It's a secret. We have to check it out.
Yes, Carol and I finished ours a couple weeks ago, so we're ready. It looks really good, too.
Fantastic. Sweet. Rebecca, if you had a go-to, what would it be off the top of your head? Lip Sync Challenge, Disney.
Disney? A Whole New World.
Whole New World?
Ooh, nice one.
Ooh. It's very beautiful.
She's going full mermaid. Is it? Is that Little Mermaid?
I don't think so. I think that's Aladdin.
It's Aladdin.
Is it Aladdin? She's going full princess.
Wow, you know you're Disney.
Yeah, clearly I've invested in my Disney knowledge.
That's right.
Hey, we've been seeing some really cool pictures of what families are doing online, but we've also been seeing really cool pictures of what life groups and adults are doing online. Life groups are getting on online platforms like Zoom and connecting. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about increasingly is if you're not participating in a life group, this is a great opportunity to start participating in a life group. You don't even have to leave your home. You don't even have to put pants on if you don't want to. Get involved in a life group. Email us. We'd love to help you get better connected. So, Rebecca, how are teenagers staying connected in this time?
Well, they are staying connected through our Instagram page. So if you are 12 to 18 years old and you are looking for community with people your age, we want to invite you to join us every day from Tuesday to Friday, rather, at 7 p.m. on our Instagram page, which is at Youth Network LWC. Where we have daily devos, weekly squad challenges. This week is a scavenger hunt and DM squad discussions led by our incredible squad leaders. So we really hope to see you there.
So these are just a few examples that we're trying to show you as best we can of what's going on online. There's all kinds of ways to connect. We've heard about families and youth, but there's young adults, there's seniors, there's men's networks, there's women's networks, there's all kinds of ways. So please consider how you can participate. We want to also remind you that we've started a Facebook page that is for the Langley community. It's a caremongering Facebook page. So rather than fearmongering, caremongering. We want to be generous, because Jesus is generous. And we want to learn creative ways of being generous in this season. So if you've yet to find that Facebook page, please find it. It's called Langley Caremongering. And I think we have about 300 people that are already participating in it.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty exciting. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So get involved in that. And that's a place where you can find needs, where you can source needs, where you can meet needs, all in a responsible and a safe way. On the horizon, we'd also remind you that Holy Week is coming up. Palm Sunday is next week, and our team is designing ways to connect and to grow intentionally online during Holy Week. We're in the season of Lent, and so we want to invite you to continue to use the Lent resources, the Lent guide, for example, that we have online available for you. I think that's what we have for you, Church News today. So thanks for listening. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out, and you can find all the information on lwchurch.ca. Here's Deanna to read our scripture for the week. This is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, to chapter 5, verse 2.
Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children, living a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God.
There are some moments that we experience where it feels like heaven is kissing earth. These moments end up being the moments that I think most build up our faith. They're tangible experiences and times that we're reminded that there is, in fact, a love that is stronger than death, that there is a light that is brighter than darkness. One of these moments for me was when I was a teenager sitting in a prairie church. This typical blue-collar guy who was really gruff and blessed with few words stood up to share a story. Now, I'll inevitably get some of the details of the story wrong. It was a long time ago. But I've never forgot the moment. See, a tragedy had struck this church just a few years before. There were two teenage girls, 15 and 17, who were killed in a terrible car accident. They were broadsided by a semi-truck. And I can't remember exactly where or how, but this man worked with that truck driver. And he described a time that him and this man were working together not long after the accident, and they saw a dust cloud as a car ripped into their parking lot. And a man got out of the car, and that man was the father of the two girls, and he burst into their office like a man on some sort of desperate mission. And he walked right up into the face of the truck driver who had hit his two girls. And this man thought for sure that both barrels were going to be opened up on this truck driver's chest, that he was just going to let him have it. Instead, he barely heard three gentle words. I forgive you. Now, why this moment has stuck with me, even though some of the details haven't, is because this gruff, strong, silent type was visibly moved by this story. It was like he was describing the greatest story that he'd ever been told, the greatest touchdown play he'd ever watched run, the greatest song he'd ever heard sung. It was like he was describing having seen the very face of God. So Jesus says at different times and in many different ways that we are called to forgive sins, that as his followers, we have an authority that whatever we bind up or release on earth is bound up or released in heaven. Now, some traditions interpret this referring to actual final judgment, and I don't think that's what Jesus is on about here. But I do think I know that I've experienced what he means, because I've had these three magic words said to me in a few moments when I didn't deserve it. And it was like something in the atmosphere changed. It was like a pressure was relieved off of my shoulders. It was like possibility and joy and life were given back to me. It was like heaven was kissing earth. Albert Einstein once said that everybody is a genius, but if we judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll spend its whole life thinking it's stupid. What he's saying is that part of finding our sweet spot is doing the things we were made for. Now, while that has something to do with finding the specific things we're called to, I think it's much more. In our frantic search for our best life, we often miss the simple brilliances we're all called to. We forget the wisdom that's been handed down for millennia concerning the things that are good for all of us. And Paul tells us that one of the simple brilliances, one of the things that will unlock our ability to find that sweet spot to live in kindness, compassion, and love is forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the things that we were made for. And he actually starts his conversation on forgiveness by warning us. Just a verse before the verse that was read for us, he tells us that we should put away all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And when we hear that, I think we can be like, well, is anger really all that bad? I mean, there are some pretty fantastic reasons to be rip-roaring mad. Sex trafficking, racial and gender equality, the gap between rich and poor, not to mention the injuries, abuses, and neglects that we've personally suffered. There are very good reasons to be angry. But all these words for anger, I think, betray something deeper: hate. And hate is a heavy thing that we were not made to hold. St. Augustine's got a beautiful phrase for the human soul and pride. He calls a human soul and pride a soul curved in on itself. Hate is one of those things that's so heavy, it's like it's got gravity. It bends our souls out of shape like black holes bend light. A human soul holding on to hatred is like a fish trying to climb a tree. It's not what we were made for. Paul tells us that we were made for compassion and kindness, for love and forgiveness, that this is our new life. This is our new self. But it's important to see where Paul goes with these words. Kindness, compassion, love, and forgiveness are words that I think have been squeezed dry for many of us. Self-help sections are bursting at the seams with philosophers and psychologists defining them. But Paul doesn't philosophize or define this term. Paul points. He says, if we want to understand kindness, compassion, love, and forgiveness, if we want this best life, this sweet spot, this abundant life, there is a place that we can look. There is a point where all these lines intersect. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. forgive as God in Christ forgave you. Love just as Jesus gave himself for you. This is the thing about all of these words, is that we don't get to define them. God shows us what they mean. And if we're going to let God show us what forgiveness means, I think there are two very concrete examples that he's given us about forgiveness from the cross. There are two observations that I would like to give you this morning. And the first observation is that forgiveness is not enabling. And the second is that forgiveness isn't cheap. Paul places forgiveness in the context of a life lived in the imitation of God. In part, I think he does this to remind us to let go of some of the other examples we've learned from. Imitation is how human beings learn. It's how we've learned most of our most important lessons. We learn to walk, to talk, to converse, what's safe, what isn't, how to eat, and most importantly, even how to love from the people that we grew up closest to. We live our lives as little mirrors. And you'll know this true if you've ever seen someone say a bad word in front of a toddler. And unfortunately, one of the ways we have forgiveness demonstrated to us by people who live their lives like doormats, to be walked all over. And some even use our faith to justify this. I remember years ago having a conversation with a woman who was suffering domestic abuse. Things got so bad, so quickly, that she felt that she and her child were in danger. And her husband was just not understanding how bad this problem really was. So eventually, she had to press charges on him to try and help him see that he needed help. And there were people in her family that flung Bible verses at her like barbs, that told her she was being unforgiving and not being a godly woman. With examples like these, it's no wonder some of us have a hard time not getting walked all over. But forgiveness is done in the imitation of God. And one thing that you'll learn if you read the story of God closely is that he has rock-solid boundaries. Read the book of Leviticus. He is crystal clear on what is appropriate and inappropriate behavior when it comes to a relationship with him. Well, some people might say, what about Jesus? Jesus sacrificed himself. Jesus died for other people. Yeah, that's true. But look closely at the life of Jesus, and you'll notice an amazing little detail. Jesus didn't die on every hill. He could have. Oh, he could have. Most Gospels, he would have been dead by the third chapter if all he had to do was sacrifice himself on the altar of every single other human life. He would have actually been dead before he even got out of his hometown in the Gospel of Luke. But Jesus chose where and how and when he suffered, and he chose it under the prayerful direction of his Father, not as a matter of course or principle. With Jesus and his cross as our example, it's clear that forgiveness is not enabling. Forgiveness, when properly lived and engaged in with God as our example, will not put us in harm's way or enable more self-destructive behaviors. I think C.S. Lewis's chapter on forgiveness and mere Christianity is extremely helpful here. He makes it clear that forgiveness does not justify more bad actions. He says, and I quote, "Christianity does not want us to reduce by one atom the hatred we feel for cruelty and treachery. Not one word of what we have said about them needs to be unsaid. But it does want us to hate them in the same way in which we hate these things in ourselves, being sorry that the person should have done such things, and hoping, if it is at all possible, that somehow, sometime, somewhere, they can be cured and made human again." For Lewis, forgiveness has nothing to do with revoking or giving punishment. It has to do with our intent. Forgiveness is desiring the good of the other person, even when they deserve otherwise. And we see this with God. His forgiveness takes many different ways, shapes, and forms. He forgives us the ultimate punishment for a sin, but he doesn't always remove all of the consequences for our wrong actions. Sometimes he actually lets us suffer those consequences for our good benefit, because those consequences are part of the way that we will grow in love and become more like him. So if we're going to engage in forgiveness the way that God has shown us to do it, it can take many different shapes and forms. It's not rolling over and belittling the wrongs that we've suffered. And for those of us who are scared of that, it's not that way because those things are actually no help to ourselves or the other person. It's not enabling the bad behaviors of others or putting ourselves in harm's way. It's following the imitation of God's forgiveness, which has as its goal our good benefit. Forgiveness is not enabling. My second observation is that forgiveness isn't cheap. I was once challenged by a Muslim imam. He said that Allah is merciful. Oh, and he doesn't need to kill anyone to do it. And this statement has kind of haunted me for over a decade because it spoke to something deep inside me. The fact that the cross makes me uncomfortable. I'm actually offended by the idea that someone else could suffer for my sins. More importantly, I'm extremely offended that somebody can suffer for the sins that have been done to me. Now, if I had to respond to this man now, I'd say that he misunderstands the cross just a little bit. See, Christians don't believe that God needs to do anything. I learned that from Karl Barth. I'm sure if he wanted to, he could have just waved his hand and forgave us all. But our God is a God who gets personally involved, just as he expects us to be personally involved in our world. Our God shows us all throughout salvation history that love isn't cheap. And that since love requires forgiveness, by extension, forgiveness isn't cheap. I've already made the point that forgiveness does not mean we belittle the wrongs that have been suffered. Actually, with the cross as our example of what forgiveness costs, it becomes clear that sin is so serious, that forgiveness is so costly. But when I say forgiveness isn't cheap, I don't just mean it was costly. I also mean that forgiveness isn't stingy, that it's generous, that forgiveness is gratuitous. Paul tells us that we are to love just as Jesus gave himself for us. Forgiveness is a gift that was freely given at great cost. One of the most beautiful examples of seeing this as a gift is from the woman Julian of Norwich. She's actually the first woman author we have in the English language. She was a mystic writing around the 14th or 15th century. And she asked Jesus for a vision of his suffering on the cross as she was sick in what she thought was her deathbed. And one of the most beautiful visions she received, one of the most beautiful pictures that she gave us, is of Jesus' face on the cross turning from agony into a smile. And she felt Jesus say to her in her heart, "Are you well satisfied that I've suffered for you?" "Yes, good Lord," she responded. "All my thanks to you, all my praise to you, bless you." "If you are satisfied," our Lord said, "I am satisfied." It is a joy and a bliss and an endless delight to me that I suffered my passion for you. If I could suffer more, I would. See, with all this context, seeing forgiveness as a gift, I realize that part of the thing that makes me uncomfortable about it is the same thing that makes me uncomfortable receiving any gift or receiving any encouragement. I don't trust it. I think I should have been able to earn it. I feel embarrassed. I want to be able to pay it back or even one it up. And there Jesus stands, smiling, saying that you can't. You're not made for that. You're not big enough. You can't carry the weight of all your sin or the sins that you've suffered. But I am. I'm rich enough to pay that price. And the cross also stands as a consistent reminder that forgiveness isn't cheap to give on our behalf either. For those of us who've tried to forgive or who are trying, we know this. The cross stands on steeples, platforms, and necklaces to say over and again, don't take this too lightly. There's no shame in the fact that it's hard. Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane shows us it was hard for him too. But even though it isn't cheap, the price has been paid. And whatever cost we take upon ourselves as part of following God's example, it's the cost of an investment that will yield abundantly greater returns. So I wonder where you find yourself with all that today. because here we are in a very unique situation, isolated and quarantined by a current health crisis. And I don't know about you, but things I thought were long gone are showing up again as I sit in the quiet that's been forced upon me. And part of it is because I've lived too quickly and too busily for all the hurts and shames to catch up with me. And so I wonder what's been coming to mind for you. My invitation to you is that we begin to invite some of those things to come to mind, that we welcome them in prayerfully and gently. Let's invite God to show us where we're at in giving and receiving forgiveness and stepping into this authority that he has given us. Now, the image sometimes given here by people is then we let it go, like all our hurts and shames are just some caged bird to be released into an indifferent sky. And I don't really like that image. Because for followers of Jesus, forgiveness is another part of a lifelong journey in handing our lives over to God. The poet T.S. Eliot once said of this journey that it's a condition of complete simplicity, not costing less than everything. I think those words capture a paradox. A Cockney paraphrase of them might be that it's bone simple and it's bloody hard. See, the image is not letting go of these hurts and shames. It's handing them over. One of Julian's other famous pictures is that when Jesus gives her a little orb that's the size of a hazelnut, and she's surprised how delicate it is. She feels like it'll roll out of her hand and shatter, and she asks Jesus, "What is this?" And Jesus says, "This is everything that's ever been made." Our hurts and shames, our very lives, are not released into an indifferent sky like birds. They are held in the scarred hands of our Savior like precious and delicate jewels. They don't disappear. They're there in the very marks made on his body. And it's those scarred hands that are promised to hold the gavel at the judgment of all things, that promise to return and set all things right. And the bone simple and bloody hard thing we are asked to do every day is to put our whole lives into those beautiful hands over and over and over again. And when we do, heaven kisses earth. People who are hardened and gruff soften up. We get another taste of the simple brilliance we were made for. And we look forward to the day when what it costs us is paid back 100-fold.
Thanks, Ricky. And thank you to our team today who has led us to a good place. How beautiful it is as a community for us to continue to walk along in this journey of Lent. And today to consider the cross and forgiveness. And our prayer and hope is that each one of us would see that good messaging of the cross is still a message for you and for our relationships, for our community. Let's pray. God, thank you for this good, holy reminder of the value of the cross. We thank you for the cross being so much more than a good and godly image. It really is the anchor for humanity. It's the anchor for a community, for families, for relationships. We thank you that we hear the messaging of the cross today, and we thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you for the removal of shame and discouragement, and we thank you for the message of hope that there can be a better day. We really can't imagine the cross, but we certainly benefit from it. Thank you for the hope that we have, knowing that too much has been given, much can be given. And so today within our lives and within our community, we thank you for the great movement of grace and mercy to be all alive within us and all alive within, around us for your glory and for our good benefit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'd like to leave you with that same quote we began with today from Fred Rogers and a question. Listening is where love begins, says Rogers. Listening to ourselves and then listening to our neighbors. The question that we'd like to add to that is, what did you hear today? What are you walking away with in between your ears or within your ribcage? Here's a closing prayer as we move into the rest of our week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.